First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Once again, that's First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, we now are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. So glad that you are here. You ever had one of those mornings where you knew you were forgetting something, and you just couldn't place your finger on it until it became abundantly obvious? I left my jacket sitting on the back of a chair this morning. On a morning, it seems I'm going to need it up here with this air conditioner on. So bear with me for a little bit. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I appreciate DJ reading for that. But our focus is going to be on verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Begin to think about this particular verse and this lesson. Thought came to me concerning the Uncola, the 7-Up. I haven't seen that many around here. We're more familiar around here, I think, with Sprite. But 7-Up and Sprite have a lot in common, but we're going to notice this morning 7-Ups for a pure life. 7-Ups for a pure life to go here with 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He, that is Christ, is pure. Our first up this morning, friends, is that we need to wake up. We need to wake up. That we need to wake up, number one, to our attitudes. Friends, having a good day, whether we have a good day or not, is completely up to us, isn't it? It's a decision that we make when we roll out of bed. You know, oftentimes we hear that phrase, "Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning?" Friends, there's no wrong side of the bed. It's determined whether or not we get up with the right mindset, the right attitude. We need to wake up to our attitudes. Decide to have a good day. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse 24. "Today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Friends, yesterday was the past. Tomorrow is yet the future. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present, right? We have a gift from God today to be able to come together and worship Him. We have the greatest privilege upon this earth to be able to come together as we have this morning. To sing songs of praise unto our Lord and our Savior. To be able to go unto Him in prayer, and to be able to open His Word and to study from it, and to partake of that great memorial in remembrance of the Lord's death. Why should today not be a good day? Friends, we need to wake up a little bit to when it concerns our attitude. Let's make a decision to have a good day each and every day, for today is indeed the day that the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Number two, friends, we need to wake up to our actions. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Begin reading with me in verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. "And do this," Paul says, "knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it's lust." Friends, let's wake up to our actions. Our actions will betray us one way or the other for who we really are. So our question must be, are our actions in our day-to-day lives, how we carry ourselves, where we go, what we do, are our actions going to betray us as Christians or as worldly? Sooner or later, those actions will tell others who we really are. And likewise, our associations. We need to wake up to our attitude, our actions. Number three, our associations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're familiar with this particular passage. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Do not be deceived. Evil company or corrupt communication corrupts good manners or good habits. He says, verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Friends, we need to be aware of those with whom we associate. You know, it's said sometimes of those that seem to be good folks and they get into trouble, well, they were just with the wrong people in the wrong place, or they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Guilty by association, right? Friends, we need to be aware as Christians of those whom we associate with. For if we're found to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, or we're found to do the wrong things, friends, with those that are the wrong people, we're going to be guilty by association. Awake to your associations. Choose your friends wisely. Friends, we need to wake up as well to our situation. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 states, Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Friends, as Christians, we are saved people. As such, we must work while it is yet day. We find ourselves in a situation in this world where it may be tough, yes. It may be hard to try to speak with others concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, but we still have that responsibility. We need to be aware of that situation. We need to be aware of whatever situation that we may find ourselves in and continue, friends, to live as a Christian should. And not as the world asks us to live. Friends, we need to wake up to our attitudes, to our actions, our associations, and our situations. Our second up of our seven ups this morning is dress up. Dress up. Dress up, number one, the outside. You know, the best way to dress up is put on a smile. To be able to be happy in this life. We talked about joy this morning in our Bible class hour. Friends, the Christian life is the best life. As Christians, we ought to be, and we said this before, and I'll say it again, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. For friends, only Christians have the hope of heaven. Only Christians are promised eternal life. So friends, as Christians, why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we be smiling? To know that we have salvation within our grasp, to know that our Lord and Savior gave us that chance at redemption. Someone has said, a smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. Let's turn over to Job chapter 9. Job 9. Notice with me verse 27. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. Literally there, or another translation, it says, if I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face. And Job says, wear a smile. Put off the sad face and wear a smile. Friends, how do people perceive us? Are Christians to the outside world, are they just a stuffed shirt, grumpy people? Or are they people that enjoy life? That enjoy being around others and talking to others about the gospel? Dress up the outside. Number two, dress up the inside. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Here the Lord is looking for a king to replace Saul. And Samuel goes and he's looking upon the sons of Jesse, and each one he seems to like more than the last. The first one, you know, he's handsome, he's tall, he looks like a king. The second one even more so, the third one even more so, until finally you come to the one right before David, and Samuel says within himself, surely this is the one the Lord wants me to anoint as king. Finally, the Lord says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, the Lord does not look on the things man looks at. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Friends, what does the Lord see? What does the Lord see when He looks at my heart? Can it be said of me, as it was said of David, that Josh Romo is a man after God's own heart? Can it be said of you that you are a man or a woman after God's own heart? And friends, if I sit here this morning, or I stand here this morning, and my answer to that question is no, God can't say that of me, then friends, I need to be asking myself another question. What do I need to do to change that? What do I need to do to change my heart so that when the Lord looks at me, He is pleased with what He sees? Let's dress up the inside. How do we do that? Right here. James tells us, doesn't he? To look into the perfect law of liberty. Let's look at this mirror that we have each day. And let's dress up the inside. And friends, let's dress up, so to speak, with the doctrine. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse 9. Titus chapter 2. Begin reading with me in verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Friends, let us as Christians dress up with the doctrine. In a manner of speaking, as Christians, as a Christian, I must wear the doctrine of Christ. In other words, friends, we must live it. We must live it. In our associations, as we're talking about a few moments ago, people need to know. They ought to be able to see that I'm different from everybody else. And I do that by wearing, so to speak, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So let's dress up the outside. Let's be happy as Christians. Let's dress up the inside. Let's change our lives in accordance with God's Word. And friends, let's wear the doctrine. Number three. We need to wake up, we need to dress up, and friends, we need to shut up. To learn, God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? Do you suppose there's a reason for that? That He gave us two ears and one mouth? so that maybe we ought to do a little bit more listening than talking? The Proverbs writer has a little bit to say about that. In Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he who guards his lips guards his soul. Proverbs writer also says in chapter 20 and verse 19, gossip betrays confidence. Avoid men who talk too much. Friends, we ought to shut up so that we can learn. Number two, we need to shut up so that we can listen. Proverbs 19 and verse 20, listen to advice, accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. You know, it's hard to listen if my gums are always flapping, so to speak, right? I need to be able to listen. To be able to sit at the feet of those that are older and wiser than I. To take in their advice. You know, always, I'm sure it's the case with everybody here this morning. You know, when I was 14 and 15, my parents were just stupid. Dumbest people on earth. As I got older, they got wiser. They learned a whole lot in about 12 years, didn't they? And I'm sure that's the case with everybody here. My life probably would have been a whole lot easier as a teenager if I'd have just shut up and listened. Let's shut up and listen. But number three, friends, also, let's shut up ourselves to negativity. Put it away from us. But rather, we ought to think positively. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 should be one of the Christian's favorite verses in the Bible. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble or pure, or whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there be any grace, think on these things. Let's be positive. You know, personally, I cannot stand to be around a pessimist. Pessimist and a realist are two separate things, but I cannot stand to be around a pessimist. Around someone that's always looking on the negative side. There's never a silver lining, so to speak. Friends, as Christians, we ought not be pessimists. We've got the hope of heaven. We have the love of Christ, and He died for the remission of our sins. We've been forgiven. There's no reason for a Christian to be a pessimist. Let's be positive. Have a positive outlook on things. And let's stop grumbling. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Be hospitable to one another or one to another without grumbling or murmuring. Let's shut up ourselves to negativity. Think positively. Stop grumbling. Number four. Our fourth up of our seven is stand up. Stand up for what you believe in, number one. You know, there's a song, an old country song. I forget exactly when it was written. But you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. It's true, isn't it? Stand up for what you believe in. We read in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua standing up before the people of Israel. Joshua, being the great leader that he was, wanted to leave the people with, in this farewell speech that he gives, he wants to leave them with something to think about. And leave them with a command. This wasn't the first time that Joshua had stood up, was it? Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, Joshua and Caleb stood together against the entire congregation of Israel. Did Joshua believe in something? Absolutely he did. Read with me Joshua 24:15. He says there, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves, or choose you this day, he says, whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers that your fathers served, that were on the other side of the river or on the other side of Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the flood. We will serve the flood. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, Joshua stood for something. He stood up for what he believed in, and friends, he made it clear where he stood. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Where do you stand? Do you stand for the Lord when the opportunity arises, friends, or do you keep your mouth shut at the wrong time? There are times to speak. We need to stand up for the Lord. Stand up for service. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, let us not grow weary while doing good, or for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart or if we faint not. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Friends, we are to be a serving people. You know, that's the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? As we read through the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what do we see Him doing constantly? He's serving others. He came not to be served, but to serve. We find our Lord and our Savior, God in the flesh, washing the feet of His apostles. Friends, what a lesson in humility from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us stand up for service. And number three, let us stand up for truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. We read, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast. Be unmovable, Paul writes in another place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Always abounding in the love of the Lord, the grace of the Lord. Stand fast. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for truth. Number five. Look up. Look up. Look up, number one, to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. The Hebrew writer says there, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring back to chapter 11 and all those that he had just mentioned concerning their great faith. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which so easily beset us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. We are to be a patient people. We are to be able to endure those things that are set before us. Look unto Jesus, the Hebrews writer says, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. Friends, when you watch a race, whether it be running or driving, whatever it may be, when you watch a race, what do you constantly see those that are running that race doing? They're looking toward a goal. All right? If you watch the Olympics this summer and you watch those men run those sprint races, and you see them, what their eyes are constantly forward, and the ones that normally win the race, did you ever see them look to one side or the other? Why is that? Because that slows them down, whether it may be just a split second or not. And the ones that win the race, they're the ones that do not slow down until after they have reached their goal. As a matter of fact, they don't just look to the goal. They concentrate on a point beyond it so that they don't slow down early. Friends, where are our eyes set? Are our eyes set on worldly things, or are they looking above, looking toward Jesus? Are our eyes set on the goal? If they're not, friends, they need to be. For if our eyes are not set on the goal, then the obstacles on that course are going to slow us to the point where we may not finish the race. Our eyes have got to be looking up to Jesus. They need to be looking up, number two, to God's grace. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, God's grace has appeared to all in the death of Jesus Christ upon that cross. Let's look forward, look up to God's grace. Let's look up to heaven. We have that hope within us after all, that hope that we have, that reasonable expectation that we have of God's promise of heaven, Colossians 3, 2 and 3. Paul writes there, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Friends, we have heaven within our grasp if we will but follow the Word of God. So let us look up to Jesus. Let us look up to God's grace and let us look up to heaven. Number six, friends, let us reach up. Let us reach up. Let's reach up to God. We ought to be striving all the time to attain something higher. We ought to always try to better ourselves, spiritually speaking. The weeping prophet Jeremiah wrote in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, 40 and 41, Jeremiah writes, Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 41, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We ought always to be reaching up for God or to God. You know, I have in my mind's eye, I can picture a young child reaching up to be held by his or her father. Friends, that ought to be us as Christians. Reaching up to our Father in heaven. Looking forward to the day that we can be with Him. How wonderful is it to have a God in heaven who cares for us as our God does. As Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 16, of course, how much did God love us, friends? He loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son. Let's reach up to God. Let's reach up to higher ground. Psalm 61 says, beginning in verse 2, we read, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. How wonderful is it, friends, to be able to trust in our Lord and our Savior, our God, our Father in heaven. To know that no matter what comes our way, that we can trust in Him. And friends, let's reach up to the call of God. Notice with me, if you will, Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. I want you to notice what Paul writes here to the Philippian brethren. Paul was always, always, always reaching forward, looking forward to that day that he would be able to see his Savior face to face. He always reached up to the call of God. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, when we think of Paul and we think of his life and what he was before he obeyed the gospel, Then and only then do we really get the meaning of what he says in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Friend, if there was anybody who could live a life that was just riddled with guilt, it could have been Paul. But he didn't allow those things to hold him back. He didn't allow those things to keep him from doing what God had commanded him to do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the goal. He was running that race. He was looking at that goal, and he wasn't going to allow anything to keep him from attaining it. Well, we do the same. And reach up to the call of God. Let's look at our number seven up. Number seven, we are to lift up. Lift up. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes to Timothy, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We are to lift up holy hands to God. Friends, that simply means we are to live a holy life. We are to live as God has commanded us. We are to lift up holy hands to God, but also, friend, we are to lift up our fallen brethren. Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Let's do whatever we can to lift up our brethren that are struggling, that are weak. Give them a helping hand as we can. And friends, of course, we are to lift up our prayers. Philippians 4 and verse 6. If you'll turn with me there. Philippians 4 and verse 6. We talked a bit in our Bible class hour about worry and fear. Notice what Paul writes to the Philippian brethren in chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. You don't have to worry about those things. Doesn't matter what they are. A good portion, or probably, like as we stated this morning, about 99.9% of the stuff we worry about is stuff we can't change or that never occurs, never happens. Friends, why worry about this stuff? We'll continue to read in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry about anything. Instead, friends, pray about everything. Take it to God in prayer. I've heard of folks that have been fond of saying, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Don't worry about the things you can't change. Don't worry about the things that probably aren't going to happen anyway. Take those things to God in prayer. Lay your worries, lay your troubles at His feet. In everything by prayer and supplications, Paul says. And don't forget the next part, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Lift up your prayers to God Almighty. Open up those lines of communication. But as was stated in our Bible class hour this morning, don't forget to allow Him to speak to you as well. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. To purify our lives. Purify our lives. Friends, we need seven ups. Number one, we need to wake up to the reality of our lives. We need to dress up our inner appearance, our outer appearance, and with the doctrine. We need to shut up so that we may listen more, that we may learn, and that we may stop our negativity. We need to stand up for our beliefs, for service, and for the truth. We need to look up to Jesus, to God, the Father, and heaven. We need to reach up to a higher plane. And friends, we need to lift up our brother. We need to lift up holy hands. We need to lift up our prayers. By doing those things, friends, we can be assured of living a pure life before our God in heaven. Friends, are you here this morning needing yourself to be purified? Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends? Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse your soul. Only the blood of Jesus can make you white as snow. Would you be His? Would you be washed this morning? Would you be found pure in the sight of God? Would you obey His gospel this morning? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If so, friend, would you do as the Bible commands and repent of your sin? Would you then confess His name before men and be baptized, immersed in water for forgiveness of sins? For it's only in that water, friend, that you can come in contact with His blood. Would you do those things this morning? Friend, are you here having done that? Have you fallen away? Have you been living in such a way that you know is wrong? Would you make those things right? Would you be His? Would you recommit your life to Christ? Friend, if you need to be baptized, if you need to make things right with God, or if you just need the prayers of the church, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?